The reading today is from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26. Living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nation to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
Mandy, thank you very much for that, for reading to us. Just before I'm going to speak, Derek's got something he'd like to share with us. So, there we are.
Thank you. Well, this came to me last Sunday after we had a lovely morning together with our visiting speaker. And I expect many of you remember he touched on one subject on the introduction to his message last week, which was about, any ideas? That's it, you got it, yeah, MasterChef. Well, I was out in the foyer afterwards having a cup of tea and a bit of fellowship, and I was just meditating on what had been said. And the following came to me, if anything, that Jesus is the MasterChef. He's putting together his dish, so to speak. And each and every one of us is an ingredient in that dish. He's chosen us out of the world for a purpose. So he's mixing us all together, perhaps cutting off bits that aren't any good, like fins of a fish or whatever. You probably think of many other things, but all sorts of things like that. And he's blending us all together into this lovely dish. And I believe the chief thing he wanted to encourage us all with, really, if anything, was that the ingredients he's chosen complement each other. So not one ingredient is not more important than the other. But at the same time, every part is needed. So none of us can say, oh, well, I don't want to be used. I can't be used. I'm not this or I'm not that. So just because you're not a bit of cinnamon doesn't exclude you from the dish. Every part is important, and I believe he wants to emphasize that to every one of us today. We're all important to him. We're precious to him. And he wants that dish at the end to be a dish that's really going to be really top-notch. And I'm sure all of us have wandered into the kitchen, perhaps expecting a meal at the end of a day. And we've known what we were going to probably have put in front of us because of the aroma. The smell of that dish that's just been wafting through the air. And let us not forget that there is a world out there that needs to know Jesus. And I believe he also wants us to know that he wants us to be the aroma of Christ out in this world, so that people will know Jesus because of that aroma that they sense from each and every one of us, whether we compliment each other together or whether we're perhaps on our own, whatever, however he leads and guides us. But the chief thing is we compliment each other, and he is the one putting the dish together, not ourselves. So we haven't all got to go to Fanny Craddock's School of Cookery. Let Jesus do the work and do the guiding by the Spirit, and we'll turn out to be that dish that he wants and that world needs. Thank you.
Derek, thanks, sir. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd be the master chef not only of us as the ingredients in the dish that you're preparing, but that you'd be the master chef of these words that we speak, that I speak, and that we listen to now, that they may be faithful to your words, and that you would use them to encourage us and to build us up. For your name's sake. Amen. Amen. Now, we're doing a series on following Jesus. And so that's the title. And what we're doing week by week is taking some of the pictures that the New Testament uses. So we've had the picture a couple of weeks ago of taking up the cross. Last week it was growing into maturity. And today it is keeping in step with the Spirit, which is entirely appropriate for Pentecost Sunday when we're thinking about the Holy Spirit. And the key verse comes from the reading which Mandy read to us, and it's verse 25 of that. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now, the translation that we're using in church, the New Living Translation, doesn't use the phrase. Many of the other modern English translations do use the phrase keep in step with the Spirit, and it's a great picture. Keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step conjures up to me that there are two possible ways to pursue this. One is marching. It's important that you keep in step. And the other is dancing. And I'm going to take the picture of dancing, which is very risky because dancing means music, and there is probably nobody in this room who is less musical than me. Because the dance implies concentration. You've got to concentrate on the music, and you've got to concentrate on your partner who's leading. So if last week we went to MasterChef, this week we're going to Strictly Come Dancing. There we are. So it is the dance. Here we are. There is a couple dancing away to some lovely music. Now, but in this passage, in Galatians 5, I hope that you listen to it, and if you've got a Bible with you, you'd find it helpful to have it open to that page, the end of Galatians 5. There is another picture here, as well as the keeping in step. And it is, there's the verse there. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's the first part of the reading that we have. But there's another picture that is going on here, and it is a battle. Okay, you've got two people slogging it out, And the verse comes, it's verse 17 here, and the second half of it, well, to read the whole of it, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. We've got these two things in all of our lives, and every one of us knows that in our own experience. We've got something telling us to do good, there is something telling us to do wrong. And as the verse says, these two forces are constantly fighting each other. They're constantly fighting each other. And we know that from our own experience. Now, I'm going to give a couple of little asides as we go through. And the first one is that I want us to remember the context. If you go back to verse 1 of the chapter, of this whole chapter, which wasn't part of our reading, Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. If you read this about this contest and you thought, that sounds really hard work, it sounds tough. Where is the freedom in that? The context is that Paul is saying, when you've come to Christ, you have a freedom, and I want you to learn how to live in that freedom. What's the results of the battle, this contest that is going on? Well, there are two results, because there are the two influences on us. And the first result is that long list of horrible characteristics. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, there is a pattern. They result in this thing. I'm not going to read them all out. Mandy has already read them. You might see that they're divided into four sorts of categories. There is the sins of sex. There are the sins of, I think what we probably call occult, of a sort of false spirituality. There are the sins that happen when we get together, the way that we interact with each other and misunderstand each other and disturb each other, and there are sins around the abuse of alcohol. And it goes on at the end and says, other sins like these. It's not an exhaustive list. Now, if we look at that list, there'll be all sorts of things in that list and say, I hope we would say, oh, that's not a problem, that's not a problem, that's not a problem. Yes, but that one is. And that one is. Every one of us will know areas of our lives that where that battle is joined, where we find it hard to resist the temptations that come. It's going to be different for each one of us. It's going to be different within our lives. As we grow older, we grow out of some temptations and we fall into others. But the battle is relentless and lifelong. And it has, and those are the results of when we give way to the temptations that we face. But there's a second result, and it was this other list of the Holy Spirit's fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Enormously attractive characteristics. And we may long to see those things growing in our lives. Now, second aside, there'll be some here today who say, today's Pentecost. We ought to be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. We ought to be talking miracles and faith and prophetic words and so on. And there is a time and a place for miracles and for prophetic words and for seeing the Spirit work at power, in power. But I want you, for a moment, just to stop and look around you in this room. Now, this doesn't quite work if you're a visitor. If you're a visitor and you belong to another church, think of your home church and looking around at the people that you would see there. If you're a visitor and you're not usually in another church, then just bear with us for a moment or two. If you've been coming here for more than a few months, you look around and you'll see in the faces that are here, real faces of real people, you won't see perfection because if you look hard enough and you turn over the stones in each other's lives, you will find the cockroaches there. But what you do see is, well, yes, so-and-so is extraordinarily kind. There's so-and-so who is full of patience in the most extraordinary adversity. So-and-so is full of hope and exudes that towards other people. In other words, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not something that's academic and theoretical, but is visible and evident in this room this morning among us. And now you will come away and say, oh, well, you know, old so-and-so, I've known them for 20 years. They've always been kind. It's part of their nature. Well, we do have different temperaments. We are born in different ways. But I want to suggest to you that it's not part of her nature or his nature at all. You don't know what that person would be like, how twisted and bitter they would be left to their own sinful desires. What you are seeing is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of a life where the focus has been, not perfectly, but consistently, I want to follow God's ways. And I want to suggest to you, that is a miracle. That is the power of the Holy Spirit at evident among us today. At not to deny the sort of the more obvious, sudden, exciting miracles. But it is just as exciting. It is just as much to praise God for as we look at each other and we see this fruit in each other. The big question, how do I follow? How do I follow Jesus? How do I keep in step with him? Well, there's in this passage, there's a positive and there's a negative. And I'm going to take the negative first. And it comes in verse, I can't even read my own writing in there, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. There, Jesus dying on the cross. But it's not just Jesus that's nailed to the cross. If I'm following him, I take that jealousy. I take that desire to get one over you. I take that greed. I take that lustful thought. And I say, Lord, there it is. That's what I'm like. But I nail that to the cross of Jesus. I wanted to be crucified with Christ. And to do that, we have to be ruthless with ourselves. We don't play with these temptations as they come. But as they come, as quickly as possible, Lord, take this, nail it to the cross. Ruthless. Repeated. And it's painful. By saying, I'm not going to put myself first, I'm going to put other people first. Well, other people might get first. And then I feel very sorry for myself and full of self-pity because God has honoured what I wanted to do. It hurts. And following Jesus does hurt at times. And it does go on lifelong in different ways, different flavours, at different times. We crucify our own, the desires of our sinful nature, the things that we know are leading us astray, nailed to the cross. That's the negative. The positive is, in a sense, to come back to where we began in verse 25. Since we're living by the Spirit, in other words, since we've been given life in that one-off thing, as we've come to Christ, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. And it's the same story, really, as we had last week, as to how we do that. It is that we read the Scriptures and we get to know them. And as we read it, we discover this is what pleases God and this is what doesn't please God. And as we seek to do that, then we get a little bit further and we begin to see not just it says do this and don't do that, but actually I'm beginning to learn the character of the Spirit who writes the Scriptures. So it becomes more and more, I was going to use the word instinctive, but I don't think that's actually quite right. It becomes more and more part of who we are, that we understand the sorts of things that God loves and the sorts of things that God hates. And we may, for many people, find that nudging of the Holy Spirit to do this or to go to that place or to talk to that person. And the other things that were outlined for us last week of regularly being in fellowship with each other and listening to each other because God speaks to us through each other. Of being in prayer. Of listening to the world, whether it's on the media, listening to those outside and always with that prayerful heart. Lord, of all that the world is saying to me, what's true? What's false? What do I listen to? What do I need to hear? What's wise from the world? And what's foolish of the world? What's wrong that I need to leave by? Let's follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you that you, in a sense, ask us to dance with you. We pray that we may hear your tune, that we may know where you are leading, and the cacophony of other noise that screams at us, that we may learn to nail to the cross of Jesus. And so, Lord, doing that, may we follow you more nearly. Amen. And there's one song ready that we can sing to follow that, which we're going to be led in.